This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The gay is not gone away. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, well, the cleanup of Washington, D.C. The feminists are out there attacking the family. Clay Travis, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right. So, remember that Bible verse? There's a news story out about the gayness of the NBA and whatnot. We'll get to that in a moment. But remember that Bible verse, or at least you've heard of it, maybe you haven't read it, where I'm paraphrasing, forgive me, Lord, where it says, you know, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, you know, human beings or spiritual forces, dark forces. You want to know one of the reasons that thing has always made an impact on me, that verse has always made an impact on me? Because it's a reminder to me that the struggle we are in is an eternal one. That's not meant to be ominous, right? But there is no final victory over it here on this earth. While we're still here, there is no final victory over it. It will outlast you and me and my sons and their sons after them, or daughters, whatever they end up having. It will outlast all of us as long as this earth remains as it is. And we can lose sight of that, not when we're losing. When we're on the outside of power, we totally get that, right? Ah, that's demonic, they're demons. We get that. We can lose sight of that when we're winning, when we have power. We can think that they're finally defeated. They're on the outs. They're ashamed. They're on the run. They're never going to stop because these are forces well beyond human beings. Do you remember, do you actually remember what it was like for 4 years under Joe Biden with these freaks?
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change.
That was our government. Four-star admiral. That was our government for a while. And everything was gay. Everything. The White House was lit up in gay colors. Corinne Diversity Hire got the job, at least in part, because she's a Black lesbian. Remember that weird freak that had all kinds of nuclear information and ended up getting fired for stealing people's luggage? Monkeypox comes out, and everyone figured out in about half a second that this was something that only plagued gay men, and so they grabbed a satanic guy and threw him in the White House and scolded everybody to call it M-pox. And we're looking around, and everything was gay. And it's not like they hid it. The President of the United States of America got up and said it.
We made human rights for LGBT around the world a top priority of my foreign policy, increasing our assistance to brave activists on the ground, defending human rights in countries to pass anti-gay laws, that passed anti-gay laws like Uganda, going after Uganda, making clear that they cannot have the same benefit.
It's our top priority. And during that time, in that 4 years, you and I, it wasn't hard to see what was right in front of your face. Oh my gosh, this is degenerate, demonic filth. I don't like it. This is horrible. We have to fight against this. It wasn't hard then. But then, last November happened. Donald Trump wins. Donald Trump wins. We win the House. We win the Senate. And it seemed like, for those of us who hated that crap, it seemed like victory, didn't it? It seemed like the American public woke up. They knew what you already knew. And they said, finally, we're done with it. We're pushing back. And we lied to ourselves, at least somewhat. I know I did. I don't want to put words in your mouth. We lied to ourselves and said, this woke stuff is finally dead. It's finally gone. Corporate America has learned its lesson. They're going to change their ways. But these are spiritual forces. This is not just your liberal Aunt Peggy in HR sending out another gay email about Pride Month. These forces go beyond you and me, any human being alive today. Jaden Ivey is a basketball player for the Chicago Bulls. It's fine if you don't know who he is, it's fine. But Jaden Ivey heard that the Chicago Bulls will, of course, doing what so many professional teams are still sneaking in there. They're going to do a pride night. Trans visibility, pride this, queer that. Jaden Ivey is a Bible-believing Christian. Jaden Ivey said this.
God did not make a man to be with a man. How God did not make a girl to be with a girl. God made a man for the purpose of procreation, to have another child. How can a woman bear a child with a woman? How?
Okay. A Bible-believing Christian. Yeah, the team let him go. They cut him. And I quote, "For," this is an official statement from the Chicago Bulls, "due to conduct detrimental to the team." Here's the Chicago Bulls head coach, Billy Donovan.
I think there's a certain level of standards and expectations that are here. You know, I mean, we have people from all different walks of life working in the building and players from all different walks of life, right? So the first thing is, you know, everybody comes with their own personal experiences, but one is we got to all be professional. I think there's got to be a high level of respect for one another, and we got to help each other, you know, and then be accountable to those standards. So I think that, you know, from ownership, you know, Jerry and Michael, down to Arturis and Mark in the front office and me as a coach, you know, I think, and even to the players, you know, there's a certain standard that we want to all live by, you know, and we're all responsible to that standard.
Standards. Oh, you might be asking yourself, well, what are you talking about? You said there's different views. Why can't he have a different view? Because there aren't actually different views. There's one permitted view. There is a war. You can accept it or you cannot accept it, but there is most definitely a spiritual war going on between demonic and angelic forces that is happening all over this globe, and the LGBTQ freak parade is solely on the side of the demonic forces, and they believe they are at war. Now, you may not want to be at war. You may not like it that you were at war. You may not, it doesn't have to be this way. Can't we all get along? And I totally sympathize, but nevertheless, we are at war. And some people, credit to them, are stepping up. Travion Henderson, he's a running back, Ohio State Buckeye. He came out after Ivy was cut, and he put up this Bible verse talking about him being cut. Quote, Matthew 5:10, by the way. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful quote. His head coach, Mike Vrabel, he said this.
Travion quoted some Bible verses supporting a Chicago Bulls player who got released for some comments that he made. And I just, how do you measure the line between conduct detrimental to the team, which is why the Bulls released the player in their view, and allowing a 23-year-old to, you know, express his personal beliefs?
I think there is a fine line. I want to tell you, I love Travion. I love the person. He cares deeply about our team. He cares deeply about his faith. He cares deeply about his family, his wife, the people in our building. And so I want them to be able to express what they believe in their heart and in their mind, but also want to make sure that they're educated, and we want to be inclusive.
Express what's in your heart. Have your faith, but hey, you need to be educated. why don't you come in and sit down so we can educate you? And you need to be inclusive. You will notice, of course, that that inclusivity never seems to apply to the LGBTQ freak parade. They don't ever get scolded about how they need to be inclusive of you and your belief. It's only you who need to be inclusive. Stop being divisive. You just need to be educated more. I just wanted to remind you again, we're going to talk to Clay Travis, obviously. Clay Travis, my mortal enemy. We'll talk to Clay about this. He has a lot of thoughts about it in a moment. But I want to remind you of this. Whatever your beliefs, whatever they are, the demons are at war with you. You understand that? They are at war with you. They have declared it. They operate in such a way that they are at war with you, whether or not you want to fight a war or think you should be in a war or think you are in a war is completely inconsequential. Demonic forces greater than any human being have declared said war. You will either choose to participate in the war and fight it, or you will lose it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. The great, the horrible, Clay Travis is going to join us to talk about this. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm too tired to fight these wars. So that's because your T levels are too low. That's why. I'm too scared. What if somebody yells at me? Call me a bigot. I don't give a crap. People call me that stuff all the time. I love it. But then again, I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for 4 years. My T levels are so high, they're going to have to dedicate my body to science at this point in time. And these are natural herbal supplements, not special prescriptions and needles in my arm and all this weird stuff, which you know is freaking terrible for you. We are drinking estrogen. We are showering in estrogen. Our T levels are in free fall because of it. Reverse it with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and get a subscription and be ready to fight the war. We'll be back.
They said my conduct is detrimental to the team, right? Why didn't they just say we don't agree with his stance on LGBTQ? Why didn't they say that? But how is it conduct detrimental to the team? What did I do to the team? What did I do to the players? I did nothing but practice with them, play with them, pass the ball to them, good teammate to them, said good job, good shot. I said good job, good pass, way to play, bro. Right? I said these things to my teammates. Was never detrimental to them. So why is it that the NBA and the Chicago Bulls say that I'm detrimental to the team? How? Because I believe in the truth? Because I know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? How? How is my conduct detrimental to the team? Because of what I believe. Because of what the truth is.
Well, it's obviously not detrimental to the team. It's detrimental to this weird demonic gay activism we have in this freak country now. Joining me now, speaking of which, the host of the Clay and Buck Show, Clay Travis, author of his newest book, Balls. I have no idea why he keeps writing books. I just hate writing books so much. Clay, so you have to feel for the young man, honestly. You have to salute him, one, but you have to feel for the young man watching potentially a pro career evaporate over such an innocent post that wouldn't have even made you raise your eyebrows.
Correct. And look, I mean, I think we all know that we don't have completely free treatment of speech. And I'll just give you an example. If he had said something like, hey, I think that we have to make sure that we include all trans kids in sports, including men who identify as women, I think they should be able to win women's championships. There's no way they'd cut him. And I think that's what strikes a lot of people about this topic. Now, to be fair, this is also, as I've argued for a very long time, it's also a function of your, so long as your talent exceeds your problems, you can do anything. And so I do think if, let's say, somebody super elite right now in the world of sports, Victor Wembanyama, who's 7'2" and unstoppable for the Spurs, could come out and say, you know, I think maybe we've been a little bit too critical of the Ayatollah. He seems like a really good dude to me. I wish he wasn't dead. People at the Spurs would be like, we don't really want him to weigh in on geopolitical issues, but he is 7'2", and he does average 30 points a game. My point on this, and I said this back when Kaepernick took a knee, you know, Aaron Rodgers could have come out back at the heyday of his career and said anything that he wanted to say. You know, Peyton Manning could have said anything. Tom Brady could have said anything. So I think one of the lessons, unfortunately, and I've talked to kids about this, and I know you've been in the sales process before, the guy who sells the most cars on the lot can get away with things that the guy who sells the least cars on the lot can't. So I do think partly this is, it's easy to make an example of a guy who's not going to make a big difference in your wins and losses department.
Yeah, I used to, as you know, I used to sell RVs, and I've said the same thing as much on the radio. When you're number one in sales, you can show up hungover and late to work on a Saturday and get away with that. Nothing but an attaboy from the boss. When you're dead last, you better be in there an hour early making coffee and mopping the floors. That's the way life works. Life is unfair in that way. All right, the sports world, Clay. Normal guys, not even, you know, political people like us, but normal guys, they get confused as to how this happens. When NASCAR does this, the NHL does this, the Florida Predator, the Nashville Predators, you were posting about it the other day. How has the sports world, which is such a heterosexual type A male world, how has it gone so gay so fast when it clearly is not the players driving it, it's not the fans driving it? What happened?
Marketing. I you know this, and I've argued it for a long time. I think the wokest part of all of American life is actually advertising departments. And they are super far left wing, and we have seen them try to influence things. It's the reason why all these left wing podcasts, I'm sure you've seen it, they're brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and Amazon, and they're like, we're going to speak truth to power, screw capitalism. And it's like, brought to you by Apple. Make sure that you go get the newest iPhone. And then you listen to our shows, and it's like, hey, go buy gold bars. You know, like, hey, we need you to go. There's a great comedian who's like, soon on conservative talk radio, there's going to be like, go buy Freedom Water. You know, and the reality is, you know, the difference in treatment, you can see it, put on your television, just watch it sometime. Look at who advertises on CNN and MSNBC. They don't have the audience, but they've got the far left dollars. And this is a big way that they try to take over culture, is they will look at what Apple News puts up in terms of where they link and all the ad dollars that they're driving as a result. The ad industry, I would argue to you, is probably the furthest left wing of almost any industry out there. And that infiltrates into the marketing departments of all of these different sports franchises. Where I do think it's interesting, Jesse, is the average athlete, to your point, is pretty religious. I'm talking about male athletes, pretty religious, overwhelmingly believes that men should be the head of the household. And you start to have these cultural signifiers that are not representative of the team. And I would, and the league itself. And I would be a little bit nervous if I were just looking at this from an NBA perspective, because there's a lot of guys who agree with everything that Jaden Ivey there said that are far better players. And that's why I've always thought there's such a profound disconnect between what the average player believes and what the average league sells. And sometimes this stuff could get blown up. As you pointed out, I definitely think it's very funny. Mayor Pete does really well with white liberal people in New Hampshire and in Iowa. You know who's not voting for him? Black dudes in the South. And you know who overwhelmingly are big NBA fans? Black dudes. And a lot of them agree with everything that clip we just played. I think it's a bit of a mess for the NBA, because the way they sell their brand is different than the culture that many of the players embrace.
Okay, now that's actually leads me perfectly to my next question. I, as you know, I've given up most professional sports exactly because of this crap. I'm starting to love baseball more and more because I'm an old man. And we go to Houston Astros games. I'm here in Houston. Me, Op, the wife, and two kids. We go. We're not huge spenders, but we go. We buy a parking pass. We're definitely going to get some burgers and some nachos, and we're going to spend a little money at the game. My boy's going to get 8,000 pounds of popcorn, but we're going to watch baseball, so we're going to go. Now, if the Houston Astros did something like that, you know, cut a Christian player for professing his faith, I would never go again. Are they not worried about me? I'm asking why aren't the Nashville Predators worried about the fan? Is the fan not responding? Why aren't the Chicago Bulls worried about the black dude who's not down with the LGBTQ? Why aren't they scared of the fans?
They should be. And I think one, so this is like wheelhouse for me that I've been talking about for a long time. So let me give you some data. And I've written about this quite a bit, and I'm one of the few people who would. Do you know what the most watched basketball game in the NBA of all time is? Do you know when it was?
No.
1998, I bet you watched. I bet most of the people watching or listening to us did too. Game 6, Chicago Bulls against Utah Jazz, the final three-peat of Michael Jordan's Bulls era. Everybody watched it. Over 30 million people watched. The average NBA Finals game, Jesse, got 10 million viewers last year. So in the space of 27 years, roughly, if I'm doing my math right, the NBA went from 30 million viewers for a basketball game in the finals to about an average of 10 million, okay? A lot of people have tuned out. The media does not cover this. And by the way, it's not every league, because some people say, well, we watch sports differently. 2 years ago, Super Bowl, most watched Super Bowl of all time. Right now, we're in the middle of the NCAA tournament, most watched men's and women's, basically, NCAA tournament of all time. So people like basketball, but they don't like basketball when they're getting it with a side of politics. There are a ton of Trump guys out there that loved the NBA and got turned off by the NBA going woke. It turns out Michael Jordan was 100% right when he said Republicans buy sneakers too when they asked him why he didn't get political. People like excellence. They like athletic excellence. They like the meritocracy. But as soon as you start lecturing them on politics, the audience vanishes. My concern is one reason the fans are tuning out. One reason that we don't talk about it enough is I'm one of the only guys that will actually go to the data and point it out. The NBA has made disastrous decisions for its brand. I think this is yet another one. And all of those decisions have gone in the same direction. To me, Jesse, you may remember this. It started when the NBA pulled its All-Star game over a trans bathroom bill in North Carolina. They pulled the All-Star game out of Charlotte. Think about this. What percentage of dudes in the NBA think that dudes who pretend to be women should be able to win women's championships? I'm not sure there's a single dude that would actually say that they're in favor of that in the entirety of the NBA. The marketing department of the NBA pulled the All-Star game out of a state over that. To me, it's just a sign they've made a lot of awful left-wing choices.
So I'm almost wincing asking the question, but Clay, does this get to a point where it hits a bottom, with all due respect to Pete Buttigieg, and it turns around and they stop doing this? Do the numbers get so bad that the dollars stop coming in that they decide, hey, we have to stop doing this. We can't do this anymore. We have to change direction and go back to more normalcy. Does that point ever come?
It should. Here's the challenge. A lot of the dollars that come into sports are disconnected directly from sports fans now. And let me explain. It's all television money, right? Most NBA players make their money because the NBA has a huge television contract. Individual attendance matters, but really the vast majority of the salary cap comes because all of these big entities, the Amazons of the world, the NBCs of the world, have decided to invest in the NBA. The only way it starts to really become an issue is if in 5 years from now, the NBA audience is down so much that when the NBA goes back to the market and says, puts their hand out and says, hey, it's time for you to pay the piper. If some of these leagues have issues because the overall viewership has declined and they're not willing, the NBCs and the Amazons of the world, to give them huge increases, the ESPNs of the world. So it's a little bit attenuated. There are multi-year guarantees. So the trend line would have to continue for several years. I think, frankly, football is immune from it. I think people just, guys just love football so much that there was an impact on the Kaepernick thing. Don't make any mistake about it. But most guys love football so much that they don't really care what the athletes say. I think the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL are more susceptible because the fan bases aren't as big, and I don't think they're as committed.
All right. Clay, are you a Snickers fan? I could see you being a Snickers fan.
I'm okay with Snickers. You know, I would say the peanut M&M is the, I think, the gold standard of, you know, quick candy hit if you want to go with peanut M&Ms. And then in second place, in my always humble opinion, would be the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I think those two are the, you know, the gold and silver of the candy industry, and pretty tough to beat.
You're not going to pay any respect to the Sour Patch Kid?
I'm not. You know, I'm not a sour guy. I know you, as a big fan of Kamala Harris, as I made a joke recently, love the sweet and sour that she brings to the table. But, you know, I'm more of a sweet, less of a sour.
Surprised you're not a Skittles fan, Clay. Taste the rainbow. Have a good one, buddy. I appreciate it. We have Isabel Brown talking feminazi stuff. That's always a good time. Before we talk to Isabel Brown, switch your cell phone service. You know, corporate America, we just talked about it with Clay. They're still in. We talked about it in the opening of the show. They're still all in on all this rainbow filth. They may be quieter about it now, but you see this come out. The second some athlete dares to speak up about his faith, Verizon hates you and your faith. T-Mobile, AT&T, these companies despise you. Are you paying them to work against you? Go look up who sponsors all these drag parades and crap. I know who doesn't. My cell phone company, Pure Talk. Pure Talk is veteran-led. They hire Americans. They'll save you money. Same towers. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Conservative activist Isabel Brown had a message for her fellow Gen Z women, who reportedly are the least likely group in America to get married and have kids. But I want you to see this. Clip.
If you're not encouraging your children to grow up and have the courage to get married and have kids, more kids than they can afford before they think they're ready, it is high time to start.
The fact that we keep putting this on women, that their only worth in society, politics, policies, mm-hmm. is if they produce a baby or have a husband, is the stupidest, most old-fashioned thing. We have come too far. The world has over 8 billion people. We no longer need to force people to procreate and pump out babies. We have arrived here. Women now and girls now have a choice.
But also,
Where
is the call to responsibility for the men?
I would just say, Isabel, maybe let's check in with your boobs in a year and see if you still want a lot more kids.
Well, that part, and I think it's just... really
reckless
to be suggesting that people should have children when you now know in this country there's this affordability crisis, and for a two-person household, a married household, you need over $400,000 for childcare. Mm. Over $400,000. Most people don't make over $400,000.
Yeah. We've come too far. That was the one that stood out to me. Joining me now, the lady who made all the hags on The View upset, Isabel Brown, host of the Isabel Brown Show on The Daily Wire. Hey, Isabel, how far have women and their happiness, how far has it come? She said we've come too far since we left that whole family and kids thing behind, and now it's I am woman, hear me roar. Are women out there thriving?
You know, Jesse, I'll say this before we jump into most of it. I never expected in my wildest dreams that having the audacity to tell other young women, hey, I love being married, I love having kids, you should think about getting married and having kids, and that takes courage, would be what The View tries to cancel me over. I've been a commentator since 2019, and we talk a lot about controversial issues, but I never thought this would be one of them. I love that you're pointing out that line, though, because that really is the heart of what these women are trying to tell you. Every woman around that table, except for one of them, has children. And every woman around that table, except for one of them, has been or is currently married. So it's good enough for them, but it's not good enough for you, because these people realize that the anti-family propaganda is deeply necessary in order to get you to buy in hook, line, and sinker to the other lies of the left. If they can keep you lonely and miserable and isolated from the strongest building block of civilization, the family, they can control you in a million other ways. The family has obviously never mattered more than right now, but how disgusting for a group of mostly moms to sit around and tell other young women you should never want children because you're somehow less of a woman or not a feminist or not advocating for equality if you do.
So let's focus on a couple different things here. First of all, the $400,000. You need $400,000. They love peddling this line out there so young people can say, I just don't have the money for it. I know when we first had kids, we certainly didn't have anything close to $400,000. I don't think we had $40,000 to actually raise them, yet we raised them just fine.
Absolutely true. I have no idea where this number came from, truly. And interestingly, Sunny Hostin actually doubled down. She insisted, no, this is what it costs to pay for childcare every year across the country. If you're paying $400,000 for childcare, I don't even want to know how elite your services are. But I did some looking it up and found out that the average family really does pay about $10,000 to $15,000 per year if they need to send their baby to something like daycare. And that is expensive, but that's exactly why you see pro-life conservative, pro-family Americans advocating for things like bigger child tax credits and making it possible for young people to buy their first home instead of selling it off to a major international corporation like Blackstone. It's why people are advocating, like our Vice President J.D. Vance when he was in the Senate, to introduce legislation that would make childbirth free in this country. It's why we fund things like pro-life pregnancy centers, what we call pregnancy resource centers, who actually provide free prenatal care and childcare and free supplies like diapers to moms facing unexpected pregnancies every single day across this country. This was all, of course, speculated from Sunny Hostin, who is wearing an $800 jacket as she is screaming at you about the affordability crisis. And her net worth as a mom of two is about $6 million. So talk about ridiculously out of touch and totally unaware of where the average young American family is.
An $800 jacket. Good God. All right. I'm going to set aside the crass comment made about your body, but I think Whitney Cummings really summed up their thinking on this pretty nicely, or horribly, whichever way you want to put it. Here she was.
I just would say to Isabel,
clearly,
let's check.
Pants were optional.
That's right. We don't do pants. We do Winnie the Pooh at my house. I would just say, Isabel, maybe let's check in with your boobs in a year and see if you still want a lot more.
Isabel, this is particularly gross because It goes right after the vanity of all young people, not just young women. And I understand it's the Instagram age where everyone has 1,000 filters and everyone looks perfect on a beach in Fiji somewhere. And then you start comparing yourself to all this and that. But it's not the end of the world to have children and have your body change, is it? In fact, it's kind of wonderful.
No, it's the greatest blessing anyone could ever ask for, Jesse. Someone put it really poignantly to me the other day that pregnancy and childbirth and raising your child really in the first year of their life is the one time we as human beings are invited into the creation of new life right alongside God. That is not just a privilege, it's a miracle. And I was really disturbed by this comment in particular, A, because I've had to talk about my boobs more in the last 24 hours than ever before, and I thought we weren't interested in body shaming and reducing women to our genitalia, but I digress. This woman actually is a comedian talking about her motherhood experience almost every single day on her platform of millions of followers. She has posted videos advocating for breastfeeding in the past, but then immediately turns around and shames another mom for breastfeeding. By the way, Whitney, my boobs are fine and I've been breastfeeding for 11 months. It's been a wonderful experience, but has to create this level of shame and attack against another woman because you want other women to experience that beautiful bond that is unlike anything else humanity has to offer. It's really pathetic, but their shallowness just goes to show that they don't really have any substance to what they're saying.
Isabel, I want you to expand on a point you kind of touched on, and it all comes down to this. Why attack the family unit? Everything is an assault on the family unit now. Everybody has to be gay. Women all have to be single. This is that you shouldn't have kids, or it's bad for Mother Gaia, or whatever these dumb, godless hippie freaks are selling out there now. Why is everything an attack on the family unit? You know, the man, the woman, getting married, staying married, and making babies. Why is that such a threat to them?
I said this in my Instagram caption when I originally responded to this last night, Jesse, but I don't think that this is coincidental whatsoever that this kicked off Holy Week for the women of The View. We are marching toward the cross this Friday on the Passion of the Lord on Good Friday and celebrating his resurrection at Easter this Sunday. And the family is indeed the most beautiful example of God's design for humanity. It's when we lay our lives down for one another, we experience genuine humility, and in such, through suffering, are united to Jesus Christ in the most beautiful ways possible. And as women get to experience this creation of new life. Pope John Paul II famously talked regularly about how the family is uniquely under attack in the modern era. And essentially, I'm paraphrasing, regularly used to say, as the family goes, so goes the nation with it, and then the whole world in which we live. You're going to see a lot more of these attacks on the family, but it's why we have to safeguard and protect it now more than ever before. Boy, is that true today from The View and in general in culture in America in 2026. But what a beautiful way for us to continue fighting for the timeless beauty of the strongest building block of all of humanity, the family.
Amen. Go, young people, get married, stay married, and make a bunch of babies. You might just enjoy yourself. Isabel, thank you so much. Chloe Trapinato, always a good time. Next. So something happened over the weekend. Couple things, actually. I had a bad case of the man cold sniffles. Don't worry, I'm totally fine. And that resulted in me having to be sitting around the house, which I hate doing. Don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. And as I was sitting around the house, I did something I also hate doing over the weekend. I was on my phone. You know, I generally don't do that. Put the phone down like I tell you to, but I'm on my phone. And the leader of El Salvador was doing a lot of posting. Go look it up yourself. And it made me sad. What was he posting? He was posting before and after pictures of El Salvador. El Salvador used to be this crime-ridden dump, murder capital of the Western Hemisphere, ruled by gangs, completely awful. Well, he threw a bunch of judges out of office. He took all the murderers and rapists and thieves and threw them in a deep, dark dungeon. And now you can see El Salvador looks like a beautiful, clean metropolis. You see, you can actually have that kind of society if you have the will to do so. Washington, D.C., homicides have dropped 61%, carjacking dropped 53%, robbery dropped 45% because Donald Trump, who deserves all the credit in the world, just decided to start cleaning the place up. Joining me now, Chloe Trapinato, hasn't joined us in a while, opinion writer for the Daily Wire. Hey, Chloe, how'd he do it?
Hey, Jesse, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me. But that's a great question. We're all wondering it because we're all seeing the effects of President Trump's policies playing out. I mean, I can tell you as a DC resident, it feels safer. It looks cleaner. He has beautified the city in a way that Ms. Bowser has just not been able to do. And I'm very glad that he's done it. I think the article said that he cleaned out 142 homeless encampments. He does have one more, and that would be the homeless encampment near my house. But I do live quite far from downtown, so I can't fault him for that one.
Okay, clearing out homeless encampments. How does that translate to such a safer place?
Well, that was a huge one for me because obviously as a young girl, it's not enjoyable to walk down the streets of the nation's capital and see a bunch of drug-riddled men just screaming and throwing things and being provocative, doing disgusting things while you're walking home. So that was step one for me in the beautification process. And that really made a huge, huge difference. But besides just the homeless encampments, like you said, homicides dropped 61%, robberies fell 45%. So again, for young girls in the city, it really does make a world of a difference. We go out late at night, we don't want to see criminals. There were 60-some gang members who were arrested. I can't believe that there were even that many gang criminals in our city to begin with. But really, all he had to do was bring in the National Guard, and it's made a world of a difference. I just saw a video of Charlie Kirk from back in the day, and he said one of the first things that he would do if he was president would be to bring in the National Guards to a lot of these major cities and clean them up And I'm glad that President Trump is doing that, at least with D.C. and Memphis for now. And I hope he continues that elsewhere.
Oh, okay, Chloe. Well, the decent, normal human being would hear us discussing this thing and possibly come up with the question of, why doesn't Chicago do this? Why doesn't New York do this? Why doesn't L.A. do this? If El Salvador can do it and Donald Trump can do it in D.C. and Memphis, then why aren't other cities doing it? Who wants to live in squalor and filth and crime? Last time I was in New York, I saw somebody peeing on the sidewalk in broad daylight right in front of me. Drugs everywhere. People don't want to live like this, right?
I guess the woke white liberal women want to live like this because these are the ladies who are protesting our fascist regime that we're seeing just because Donald Trump has deployed the military to our streets. And I think they get away with saying this, Jesse, because they live in their gated communities and these very wealthy, affluent white liberal women, they live in the suburbs and they don't see the crime and the homelessness and they just never have to experience any of this themselves, so it's very easy for them to come out on a beautiful Saturday and chant the normal slogans and sayings, say that we have a king, say that it's fascist for the National Guard to be deployed, because they never have to see the consequences of what the city looked like before the National Guard was there. They didn't have to take the metro, take public transportation. A lot of these people have their own private drivers. It's the same thing with Hollywood. These people never really experience real world problems and issues. So, you know, now whenever the situation gets solved, it doesn't make much of a difference for them. They can continue to pander and virtue signal.
Chloe, Democrat running for Senate in the state of Michigan has been hesitant to criticize terrorist attackers because he's worried about offending the constituency of Michigan. Immigration really is working out great for this country.
It absolutely is not. I'm reading a book right now by Dinesh D'Souza, The Death of a Nation. And he talks about how, you know, nowadays, the modern slavery is just this democratic urban plantation that we're seeing through these illegal immigrants. So they are going to continue to pander to the illegal immigrant. They're going to continue to let them in. They're not going to care that they often carry with them fraud, the idea of amoral familism, and all of these different crimes and terrorism. They don't really care. So they're going to continue to bring in the illegal immigrant. Democrats are at the expense of the citizen, the American citizen. And again, this is what Dinesh D'Souza calls the urban democratic plantation. And they are going to continue to pander to these groups to get their votes. And we are going to have to suffer, the American people, because of it. It's completely unfortunate.
So in the end, it's just about power. No care for your safety, the safety of my wife, my kids, the cleanliness of the nation. No thought to any of these things. It's just a naked power grab.
No, it is all about the power grab. And that's how you see things like Sheridan Gorman. I wrote about her last week for the Daily Wire. Obviously, a young 18-year-old girl who went to Loyola University in Chicago, and she was killed by an illegal immigrant because Democrats want to pander to this group. They want their vote, so they allow people like this to stay in the nation, to come from countries like Venezuela, come into Chicago. They allow them to commit crimes, and then because of their sanctuary city policies, they allow the criminal to be released back out onto the streets without ever having to notify ICE, without ever having to honor a detainer. And then these illegal criminals are allowed back out because of, again, Democratic sanctuary city policies, and people, American citizens, die. Young 18-year-old girls die. She was just trying to see the beautiful northern lights in the sky. She was with her friends. And I mean, this is something that I do, and that's why I'm so grateful that cities like DC have been cleaned up and crime has been taken out of urban places like that, because I want to walk down the streets with my friends at night and not be shot. It's absolutely heinous.
Yeah, I prefer not to be shot as well. Gavin Newsom is out there bouncing around the country trying to do the normie thing. Hey, man, I like guns with all the hand stuff, and it's all very odd. And then his witch wife just keeps doing the podcast circuit, making him seem like the turbo commie freak that he actually is. And I find the whole thing to be incredibly entertaining.
I do too. And I also just wrote a piece about Miss Jennifer Seibel Newsom. And she is riddled with hypocrisy. Just a few years ago, she was saying that she had to take her children on a racism safari tour to the red states to have them experience how awful these red states are. Meanwhile, there's plenty racism to go around in their own wacky state of California. The crime rates against Jewish people, people LGBTQ, people of color, have skyrocketed in California. And obviously, they are just rife with hypocrisy themselves. Gavin Newsom's out there telling black people that he, too, can't read. This family absolutely cracks me up, Jesse.
That's one of my favorites. All right, Chloe, let's see. All right, lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I know we had Clay Travis on the show earlier. And I acted friendly with Clay, but the truth is Clay is a terrible person. Clay is, I would, some might call a monster. I don't know if I would go that far, but in case you think I'm lying about that, I want you to watch this.
What say you about the potato chips ice cream controversy?
I wish I could tell you I was surprised, Buck, that Mr. Orders Brussels Sprouts thinks that it's bad to somehow put potatoes on ice cream, but let me just inform Clay of something that every single person listening knows. The combination of salty and sweet is one of the great combinations in the history of mankind. Just because Clay was never forward-thinking enough to crumble up potato chips in his ice cream doesn't mean he gets to sit there and take petty shots at me as he eats Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes, looking down his nose at real Americans who actually know what flavor is.
You were just saying the combination of salty and sweet is great. This makes sense since you were a Kamala Harris voter.
That's good.
A terrible person. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.